I want to read a very well-known scripture, and I make no apology at all for reading it, in Luke chapter 15. Luke 15, in verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided to them what he was possessed of. And after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property, living in debauchery. But when he had spent all there, arose a violent famine throughout that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he went, sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he longed to fill his belly with the husks which the swine were eating, and no one gave to him. And coming to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine. I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose up and went to his own father. And while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him, and was moved with compassion, and ran, and fell upon his neck, and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondman, Bring out the best robe, and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and has come to life, was lost and has been found. And they began to make merry. And his elder son was in the field, and as coming up he drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And having called one of the servants, he inquired what these things might be. And he said to him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and well. But he became angry and would not go in. And his father went out and besought him. But he answering said to his father, Behold, so many years I serve thee, and never have I transgressed a commandment of thine. And to me hast thou never given a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But when this thy son, who has devoured thy substance with harlots, is come, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. But he said to him, Child, thou art ever with me, and all that is mine is thine. But it was right to make merry and rejoice, because this thy brother was dead, and has come to life again, and was lost, and has been found. As I said at the beginning, this parable is so well known, and in a future day in heaven, I'm sure there will be countless stories of people being converted by hearing this parable. Mostly, the focus is on the younger son. Sometimes, the focus is on the elder son. Tonight, dear friends, I want to focus on the father. God himself and his disposition towards men, his disposition towards you and I. As we started at the beginning, God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. I want to convey something with the Spirit's help of the heart of the Father, the heart of God. We know so well the story of these two sons. Both of them actually were away from God in time. Both of them were estranged from their father. One went a long way away, and in terms that we understand, he was converted. He had His conscience eventually worked. But you know, the elder son, he was in the sphere of blessing. He enjoyed all the privileges too. And yet his heart was just as wrong as the younger man, the younger son. Which bears out the scripture that it says all have sinned. There is no difference. Paul says there is no difference. In one sense, these two are exactly the same. But the point is that one got the blessing and one didn't, as far as we know. In fact, you might say there's two endings to this story. There's a happy ending for the younger son, but it's not a happy ending for the elder son. I know this is only a parable, but it's there as a warning that we must not trifle with the goodness of God. It says in the scripture that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. Yes, we can all identify with the younger son. He wanted to go off and enjoy life, and he went into a far country. You think how low he went. Penniless. He joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. You know, you've only got to walk the streets of any big city and you see people sleeping in the gutters to realise just how low people can go. And the effect of sin, alcohol and drugs, such like things, you know, sin and the devil himself is a hard taskmaster. Hard taskmaster. And this young man who couldn't wait to get out of the front door. Yeah, what an experience he had. Maybe we've all been like that. Couldn't wait to get out of the front door. And yet, in God's mercy, he came back. He came to himself. Oh, I trust that everyone in this hall tonight has that experience of having to do with God and having to do with yourself. Reckon. It's a day of reckoning. In one sense, when the gospel is preached, it's a day of reckoning. Where do you stand in relation to God? This young man, he'd had all his temporary pleasures. It says the temporary pleasures of sin, and that's what they are, yes? Sin can be very attractive, but it's temporary. And the end of it is death. Death. And absolute poverty. And estrangement from God himself. But you know, the elder son, did he have any happiness? You read the scripture here, he was miserable. He was as miserable as the younger man was, actually. Yes, he was in the right sphere. He was doing the right things, saying the right things, maybe. But he was just as lost as the younger one. It's interesting, isn't it? He says he is a liar. He says, "I've never transgressed a commandment of thine." Who can say that? It says we've all sinned, doesn't it? There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But he says, "I've never transgressed a commandment of thine." What a position to take. It reminds you of the Pharisee. You know, the Lord Jesus told a parable too, didn't he? Another parable, the two going up to the temple. The Pharisee and the tax gatherer. And the Pharisee said, "I thank God I'm not as other men." Have you ever felt like that? It's rather superior. I thank God I'm not as other men. You may look different to other men, but the eyes of God, you know, God sees, doesn't he? And he judges. And his judgment is absolutely right and correct. And he sees through all your facade, maybe. This elder man, elder son, you know, he put on a facade. Yes, he was immensely privileged because he was he remained there in the sphere of blessing. He was so close, wasn't he? And how many dear precious souls tonight are so close to blessing, and yet they're not there. Teetering on the edge of eternity. That's how solemn it is. Teetering on the edge of eternity. And yet they're not saved. You know, the Lord speaks about those, doesn't he? He says, they could say, Lord, Lord. And he says, I never knew you. Never knew you. The solemnity of trifling with these things. Dear friend, tonight the gospel goes out that you might have a soul experience. Like the younger man. But you know, my point was the Father's heart. It was the same to both. And that's what I find so attractive in the glad tidings. That he wasn't biased, you know, as fathers, sometimes, possibly, we favour one against another. I'm not getting into that now, but we're human, and that's what happens sometimes. God is absolutely fair, and absolutely perfect, and just. And he loved both, didn't he? I know, again, this is only a parable, but I'm just taking the type here. And he loved both. He loved the younger man passionately. He loved the older man passionately as well. The heart of the Father. God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. The younger one, you know, he went through a painful experience. And sometimes, you know, in God's ways, he leads us through painful experiences. He almost takes us right to the very edge of the precipice before he claims us, before we succumb to his grace and mercy. He came to himself. Dear friend, tonight, if you've wandered, if you've left home, I don't mean naturally and physically, I mean in terms of God's house, if God's blessing, you know, I suppose it's true to say that most gospel preachings, a good majority of the hearers are believers. But you know, or you've been brought up in a Christian family. Well, that's a wonderful privilege, but it's also a great responsibility. Dear friend, don't trifle with these things. Yes, you might think it a great idea to have everything now. He says, give me now. And then he spent it all. Spent it all. And he became a debt. He was in debt. He had nothing to pay. Thank God that I know a God who freely forgives when we have nothing to pay. That's another parable of Jesus, isn't he, told. He says when he saw that they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. What a God we have to deal with, dear friends. What just struck me about this, the verse that really started all this off was verse 20. And while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. How wonderful, how appealing that is. Here's this young man, dirty, unkempt, probably in a physical bad state, in rags, he had nothing, he hadn't got a penny to his name. And yet the father, you know, he made the move, didn't he? He made the move while he was yet a long way off. What does Paul say? While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Why were you yet sinners? That's the compassion and the love of God, dear friend. When he was a long way off, and he ran, the father ran. Oh, I said, you know, people say, why doesn't God come in? Why doesn't God speak? In the gospel, God has spoken so loudly. He's run here. The Father ran to meet him. And that's just what tonight, if you're feeling the burden of your sin, or you don't have peace or joy in your heart, you don't know God as a Saviour God, tonight we can say that God is for you. Yes, the world may be against you. Your family might be against you. Everything might be against you. But God is for you. And Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Dear friend, I can tell you in the glad tidings tonight that God is for you. And he's made an active move. He's taken steps for your blessing. He's taken the initiative. We wouldn't do anything. We are useless and hopeless. We would just sit and wallow in our own despair. But God has taken the initiative in the glad tidings and sent his only beloved Son. While we were yet sinners, Christ has died for us. How wonderful that is. So we find that the Father runs and meets him. And does he just shake his hand? No. He covers him with kisses. Such is the love of God. Such is the love of the Father. He covers him with kisses. And he welcomes him in to the sphere of blessing and joy. There's music and dancing, singing, love, light, all these wonderful things. And yet there was someone outside. And as I say, the younger man couldn't wait to get outside. We find here the elder man, he doesn't want to come in. He's the good boy. I've never transgressed a commandment of thine, and thou hast never given me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. I don't want to use too much poetic license, but I'm sure in the spirit of this, that if he'd asked the Father, he would have given him what he wanted. Such is the Father's heart. Yes, I'm sure the Father would have killed a fatted calf and laid everything on for the elder son as well, if he'd only but asked. Unite, you know, tonight you need to desire blessing. It doesn't just happen. You need to desire it. Lord, save me, Peter says. The jailer in Philippi said, what must I do to be saved? Have you ever desired blessing? Have you ever desired to be forgiven of your sins? Have you ever desired to have peace with God? You know, God doesn't have deaf ears when it comes to the cry of the sinner. He desires your blessing, and all you need to do is ask. This elder son, he wasn't interested in the younger one coming home. It's interesting, isn't it, that the servant says, thy brother is come. But when the elder man speaks, he says, this thy son. And what a distant relationship there was. And yet, you know, he could have come in and enjoyed all the light and the love that was in the Father's heart. He loved both. And I can say to any man, whether they're wandered away into the darkest parts of the earth, whether they wandered into the worst sin, you know, it was a wonderful part of the gospel that nobody is outside the pale of blessing. The most desperate, awful sinner can be blessed and saved tonight, just as much as the religious person who thinks he's all right. The one who has been brought up in a Christian atmosphere, in a Christian home, and he may go through the motions, and he thinks he's right, yet it's just all on the surface. And yet, you know, the provision of the Father is for them both. What happens to the younger son? He could have been put on the elder son. A robe. Clothed with the best robe. And a ring on his hand and sandal on his feet. I won't go into all that means. Not that I can explain it very well anyway. But it does say, it does speak of what Christ has done. The best robe. There's only one best robe. You know, you go into a clothes shop and there's such a variety, isn't there? You don't know what to choose from. When it comes to your salvation, there's only one that's suitable for God's presence. That's the best robe. That's Christ and his righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There is only one solution to the problem of your sin, and that is Christ. And his righteousness, the best robe. God only takes up the best, dear friend. He only provides the best. And he's provided the best for you in his only beloved Son. The fatted calf has been killed. Jesus suffered and died. He shed his precious blood. And you know, he must bring in the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. The precious blood has been shed that God might be righteous, that he might look upon you as one who's been forgiven and redeemed. How wonderful that is. And then he's given sandals on his feet, which I think, if I'm right, speaks of being made a son, having the freedom of the house. You know, we've been set free. Jesus said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be really free. People, you know, they think they're free. The younger man, I suppose, thought he was free when he left the front door. Actually, what he did is he ended up in absolute bondage, didn't he? He ended up in bondage. But if you come to Jesus and have to do with him and believe in him, he will set you free, and you'll be free indeed. You'll be able to come into the Father's house and to have all this wonderful provision that God has made. And a ring on your finger. You know, it'll be never taken off, you know. Once the ring is put on the finger, it's never taken off. Can't be lost today, saved today and lost tomorrow. That's a detriment to the work of Christ. Dear friend, if you trust in the Lord Jesus tonight, have to do with him. Realize that he suffered and died for you. Shed his precious blood to wash away all your sins. Then indeed you have this wonderful right. John says that those who believe have the right to be called the children of God. How wonderful that is. Such is the God that we have to deal with. People in the world, you know, they really don't have any clue as to what God is like. All they need to do is to read the scriptures and to read about the Lord Jesus, because in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Why did Jesus come? He came to reveal the heart of God. God waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. And so I haven't much more to say, really. The younger man, he came into the benefit of the Father's house. What a position he was given. Not just scraped in the front door, he was given the freedom of the house. What privileges he was given. And yet here we have the elder one. The ends in a sad note. He's just outside of the sphere of blessing. So close. And how many precious souls throughout the centuries have been so close to blessing, and they've missed the opportunity. Tonight, I'd urge you, don't miss the opportunity. Have to do with God tonight. Have to do with his beloved Son. And then the Father too will give you all these wonderful blessings of sonship and the gift of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness of your sins, and peace, a joy in your heart. You know, it's a sphere of music and dancing. We're reading about in heaven how much praise there is going on in heaven, you know. As we said, there comes a point when there's silence in heaven for half an hour, which is a solemn thought, that only throws into relief that sphere of praise and worship and everlasting song that's going up to God. And you can have part in it now if you come into this sphere of blessing. Have to do with God, and he will give you the very best. Well, tonight I'd urge you, may you come into these blessings for yourself. The young man, he came into it for himself. The older one, he didn't want to know. So close and yet so far away. Dear friend, tonight, may you come into the God's... May you understand what God is in store for you as the gospel goes out. May you accept all that God has done for his name's sake. Amen.